Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji. It is Super Bowl week, and we are getting ready for the Chiefs and the Eagles. Chiefs trying to three-peat. We thought we'd talk a little bit about the business of the Super Bowl because, well, there's a lot of money that is involved when it is Super Bowl week and the game itself. And to discuss that with us for Front Office Sports, Daniel Kaplan is covering the Super Bowl. He is in New Orleans right now and joins us on KMOX. Daniel, good to talk to you.
Good morning. Good to talk to you.
We want to start here because we were just talking about the ticket prices for the Super Bowl. There was a story yesterday that the prices are down from the prior week. And of course, there's still several thousand dollars if you want to buy a ticket for the game. But what is the ticket situation right now? Is it really cheaper to go this year than usual?
It is definitely cheaper to go this year than last year. I wouldn't say usual. It still will rank as the fifth or sixth priciest Super Bowl on record. But clearly there's a bit of Chiefs fatigue. Chiefs fans have been there and done that, and the Eagles were in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago, and they won the Super Bowl in 2018. So you've got a little of that factor, and clearly if you had seen the Washington Commanders get in, I don't think you would see the Super Bowl ticket prices down as much as they have been, because that's a fan base that hasn't been to a Super Bowl in, what is it, 30 years?
Yeah. Well, I guess the makeup of the fans in the stands at the Super Bowl, obviously it's a tough ticket to get. What percentage of that fan, or of the stands, I should say, are diehard fans versus people who get to go because of business tickets or are there because it's an event?
A healthy portion are the corporate fans. The NFL several years ago through its hospitality company that it actually spun off in the last few years called On Location, they moved a lot of the tickets under that banner. There's 20 to 30,000 tickets that company controls, and they package those tickets with hotel rooms, with parties, with experiences, with meet and greets with former players, current players, and those packages can go for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So you're removing a good number of tickets from the overall inventory. So just supply and demand would mean that the tickets that are left over go for more. In any given year, depending on matchup, depending on location, Las Vegas, it was a big deal because it was the first time it was in Las Vegas. You'll see the tickets on the secondary ticket market be quite high. This year, even though it's New Orleans, you've got, as I said, you've got two teams that have been there, done that. And so there's not the froth you see usually in the ticket prices for Super Bowl tickets.
I've been talking about this. New Orleans is the only city I've ever been to during a Super Bowl week. And not having been anywhere else, I can't imagine there other than Vegas, a better place to hold an event like that. It seems perfect for it. What sort of economic impact does a Super Bowl and the Super Bowl week bring to a city like that?
Well, particularly a smaller city like New Orleans, it's a tremendous economic impact. Hotel rates are off the charts in New Orleans right now. There's $15,000 a night at the Four Seasons. motels going for $1,000 a night. New Orleans is behind the pace in the number of hotel rooms. So there's, I would say, a quarter of the number of hotel rooms in New Orleans as there was in Las Vegas last year. Atlanta, which will have the Super Bowl in 3 years, there's thousands of new hotel rooms going up. The Super Bowl will be in the San Francisco area next year, LA the following year, far more hotel rooms. So if New Orleans wants another Super Bowl, it's going to have to start thinking as a city to build more hotel space. Everyone loves being in New Orleans, but the stadium is a little dated. The hotel situation is not good. There's just not enough hotel rooms. People are staying in Biloxi, an hour away. So it's a great place to party and to have good food, but it's a little stretched around the edges. And actually, that's the story I'm working on today, is will New Orleans get another Super Bowl, and if so, when? And I think the when would be quite a ways in the future.
And you mentioned this, and I know that people generally do not care about the amenities the press will get. But I've seen that the press, the working press area, is in a parking garage. Is that unusual?
It's incredibly unusual. I was there for media night. You walk through, and it's not just a parking garage. It's a parking garage circa 1970. And I'm going to make you laugh even more, or at least cry on my behalf. The restrooms were porta johns and outside.
Oh my God!
Yes.
and they had one of those areas where you could wash your hands, like porta, you know, that they had porta johns. And the water didn't come out.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Like my worst nightmare. Oh, my gosh. Well,
yeah, sorry about that, Daniel.
I'm not the person that the New Orleans Visitors Committee wants writing the story I'm writing today.
Yeah. I mean, I guess New Orleans, it's not a small town, but by Super Bowl standards, it is. It's like holding a massive event in a small town.
And they're used to hosting big events like Mardi Gras and such. But I think we talked about the corporate crowd. What the Super Bowl city expects now, what the NFL expects. I just think that New Orleans is. I mean, the area around the Superdome is run down. I've heard a lot of complaints about the quality of the hotels in New Orleans. I mean, this is not just from media members. It's people staying at like the official NFL hotel. I've heard complaints about. So I just think that things are dated here in New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, I mean, the NFL surges ever forward. And last year, a 30-second Super Bowl commercial was $7 million, a record $7 million. And now they have sold 30-second commercials for a record $8 million. Do you see a cap to Super Bowl advertising at some point, or is this still on a rocket ship?
Oh, I don't see a cap at all. I think it's on a total rocket ship. You look at the fragmentation of media, how scripted television is almost non-existent now. The sports in general, and the NFL in particular, and obviously the Super Bowl, it delivers ratings you can't get anywhere else. And an event that brings in 120 million viewers, that's totally unique and one of a kind. I'd expect Super Bowl ad rates to hit $9.5-10 million next year.
That's insane. I did see, I'll ask you quickly, this is super specific, but there was an Apple commercial back in 1984, about 1984, and it very 80s with big hair and a woman running through a theater to break a screen. And it was them introducing a new Apple computer, and sales like surged in the next month for Apple. And they were saying this Apple commercial and the ramifications of it forever changed Super Bowl advertising.
That's right.
Did it? How significant was it?
That you just described the most significant ad perhaps in ad history. That led to what we're talking about now, which is the prices in Super Bowl ads that led to companies treating the Super Bowl as a must-have platform, spending almost as much money as the cost of the advertising on the production of the ad. It all started with that Mac computer ad.
Mm-hmm. Was that wait? Was it? Go ahead.
You have to realize that I'm probably much older than you. 1984, people didn't have desktop computers.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just coming out. This was the ad that really broke that into the mainstream.
I think it was produced by Ridley Scott.
I think that's
production. Yeah.
Maybe they could reproduce that with merge it with Gladiator.
That's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Go back to it.
We're talking to Daniel Kaplan, who is covering the Super Bowl in New Orleans for Front Office Sports. And we are hearing that this could be the most viewed Super Bowl ever. Does that sound like it's a possibility, even though there is Chiefs fatigue?
It's always a possibility. I would imagine Chiefs fatigue might make that just a slight miss on the most viewed Super Bowl ever, which was last year at 123 million. But whether it's 115 million or 130 million, these numbers are, I mean, they're hard to believe when you look at what a normal television program or a normal sporting event gets. I mean, the World Series gets 13, 14 million average viewers. The NBA Finals gets 10, 11 million average viewers. This is just, it's fantasy land for TV sports programming.
How much more did the presence of Taylor Swift impact the viewership of the NFL even today, not just in that one snapshot moment, you know, last year and so forth, but even today?
Oh, I think it's drawn in new viewers. I mean, it's drawn in a demographic that didn't watch sports before. Here's a question it's been put to me since I've been here. Who will get more TV time on Sunday, Taylor Swift or Donald Trump?
I saw that on your Twitter. I voted. Yeah. That's a great question.
It should be a prop bet.
It should. Maybe it is. I don't know.
There are so many Super Bowl props. Do you know much about what the security situation will be like on Sunday?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I'm happy I'm leaving Sunday morning. Let me put it that way. But it was already going to be extraordinarily tight given the events of the tragic events of January 1st here in New Orleans. With the president coming, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like trying to get into that stadium. The roads already were getting closed around the stadium. The roads are going to get closed around the stadium. It's just going to be insane.
Daniel Kaplan is with us covering the Super Bowl in New Orleans right now. I forgot to ask you this question about the Super Bowl ads. I had read that Anheuser-Busch, which is a local St. Louis company, or the headquarters is here, they're going to have something like 5 or 6 Super Bowl ads. Who is spending the most during the game on Sunday?
Well, I think it would be Anheuser-Busch if they've got 5 or 6 Super Bowl ads. It's interesting. One of the categories that usually is a big spender is not spending this year, and that's insurance. Given the situations with the LA fires and the insurance companies coming under attack for whether they pulled coverage of some of the homes, and obviously the situation with health insurance and the murder of the insurance executive, it's just not a good time for public PR for the insurance provider. So I don't know if it's 0 or 1 or 2, but there are very few insurance providers doing Super Bowl ads this year.
You know, I know there have been some total duds of Super Bowl ads that have been controversial. The one I remember from several years ago, the little boy talking about all the experiences in life that he didn't have, and because he died in a drunk driving accident. It was just very, very dark. Has a bad or dud Super Bowl commercial actually ever hurt the bottom line of a big company?
Well, I can't definitively say that, but usually even bad news can be good news if you get exposure. While the public service ad you referred to got a lot of negative attention, it did bring attention to the issue. And so there can be dud ads that on the ad rankings that USA Today does and others do, the worst ads, they still get attention, they still get coverage, and at the end of the day, it's about brand exposure and exposing the brand.
Daniel, we've been having a lot of fun with the idea that we have almost $300 million to spend here in the city of St. Louis because of the Rams settlement against Stan Kroenke. That was the award that we got, and how it should be spent. And somebody said, hey, let's put a down payment on a football team. So the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles are both pretty valuable franchises. So how much would $300 million get us?
You know, it reminds me when the Rams were still in St. Louis and they signed up, I think it was National Car Rental, they signed up as the locals that were trying to keep the team in town signed up National Car Rental as a naming rights partner. for prospective stadium. It was announced the day there was an NFL meeting in New York, and Jerry Jones walked in, and I asked him what he thought about the naming rights deal. He says, "How much is that worth?" And I said, "Oh, I think it was like $200 million." And he said, "That won't even buy you a hallway in L.A."
Yeah.
And I don't think $1 million barely gets you in the door of the NFL now.
I think. I think what it gets you is Tom Brady as your broadcaster.
That's it.
I think that's all you get.
The Philadelphia Eagles just sold some limited partner stakes and valued that team at $8 billion. So $300 million is not going to get you very far anymore. You're better off buying a team in a different sport.
Okay.
I guess we'll just fill the potholes.
Yeah, we'll just use it for the water system instead.
Yeah,
use it for public education.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, we need water and education. Daniel Kaplan, covering the Super Bowl for Front Office Sports. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck getting out of town before the security problems.
Well, I'm worried the airspace is going to be shut down for a period of time.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And good luck with the Port-a-Johns.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going back to the stadium.
Daniel's getting out
get
of
Get your
Dodge.
Own sanitizer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
All right, take care.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. This is KMOX.
All right, I know this is not Amy's personal helpline, but...
That typically is.
Let's just say...
We should get a doctor on, and you can ask a very specific question.
If anybody knows how washing machines work, listen, have you guys ever had this happen where you have like a bunch of sweaters or delicates and you throw them in the delicate cycle? And I say a bunch, maybe three, maybe four, maybe two. Anyway, you put them in the delicate cycle. You go in, open the washing machine after the cycle is done, and... I mean, it's like 100 pounds of water. Like it never did the spin cycle. It just soaked up all the water, and your clothes are so heavy you can't possibly put them in the dryer because when you pick them up, they're soaking wet. So then you run it, let's say, three or four more times just to try to get those suckers to spin. And now your sweaters have been washed three or four times. They weigh 700 pounds because all they do is soak up the water. You can't put them in the dryer. When you pick them up, like water, like it's like they've been in the ocean. You pick them up.
So what's the...
How do you get that to not... How do you...
I don't know.
How do you...
What are you asking
so
me?
So I just... Do we have any washing machine repair people who know, like, is it weighted? Is that why... Does the washing machine think, wow, this already weighs enough, like there's water in the...
As far as I'm concerned, I put it in, there's one button, and I make sure that it's usually cold water, and then I just let it go.
I just want to know,
how
do I get the washing machine to work?
I don't know, and I still don't know what permanent press means.
What does that mean?
Does anybody know what permanent press is?
Is that the washer or the dryer?
A washer.
Because I've seen the permanent
press. It's a wash cycle. Permanent press is a wash cycle.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Super hot?
No, I don't know if it's...
You don't press things while they're wet.
So my thinking is it is for clothes that you don't want to wrinkle? I don't know, though.
It says it reduces wrinkles in clothes.
Yeah, okay.
How, though? And why would you not automatically build that in?
You know what? It probably doesn't spin really hard at the end of the cycle because that's what makes things clump up and get crinkly.
Well, I just feel like if you have an option of making the clothes less wrinkly, do it.
Carol is on the hold. She has an answer for you. Carol, and give us in 15 seconds what the answer is.
In 15 seconds?
Yes.
Okay, I wash everything on delicates that it does. But then after the delicate cycle, turn your control to just a spin cycle and put it on like regular.
Okay.
Like take it off of delicate, put it on regular. Only run the spin, and it spins out all the excess water.
Carol, and that's what I would do. I am unfortunately on a coin-operated machine that doesn't have a spin only, and that's why I'm so... Because that's... I called my mom. I cried twice and called my mom.
So pathetic.
And she said the spin cycle. I go, I don't have a spin cycle, and I'm out of quarters.
You're screwed.
Carol said your clothes are going to be wet forever.
They are. I honestly, my thought this morning leaving, I put a sign on the thing that says broken. And my thought when leaving was, I'm going to have to throw these away.
We have two texters.
Yes.
And they're kind of contradictory. So who the hell knows? One says delicate cycle won't spin enough okay. for heavy sweaters.
That I learned that the hard way.
The other one says, try a different cycle. Your delicate cycle on your machine is broken.
Yes. So I did. I tried quick cycle, regular cycle, and high color. And one other one, not the, maybe I should try the permanent press.
So all we're learning is that nobody knows how to do laundry around
No,
here.
I think it's my dumb machines that don't have a spin cycle. Like Carol said, I'm screwed. Because like I said, I cried twice and called my mom. I'm like, I'm out of quarters and my sweaters are heavy.
You are in your 40s.
I know.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Super Bowl week, it rolls on. Bernie Miklas will join us to talk about it and see if there's any movement on the Nolan Arenado front as well. He's next on KMOX. Chris and Amy show on KMOX and the Bernie Miklas Report, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We've got Bernie on Tuesday and Thursday. He's part of the KMOX team again, and he's with us now this morning. How you doing, Bernie?
Everything's great. Good to be with you as always.
Excited about the remainder of Super Bowl week. It rolls on in New Orleans, and we're getting ready for Chiefs-Eagles.
I really am, because I think this is a great game, potentially. I mean, 2 years ago when they played, it was a great game. The Eagles had the Chiefs on the ropes, and the Chiefs, as they want to do, they got off the ropes and came back and won late. But this is a much better Philadelphia team than that one was. And they have Saquon Barkley, which is an upgrade from Miles Sanders. That's the guy the Chiefs had to try to tackle the last time they played Philly in the Super Bowl. The Eagles have the number one pass defense. They get tremendous pressure on the quarterback. They have a fantastic, one of the most respected defensive coordinators in the NFL for quite a long time, in Vic Fangio. And one thing that he does especially well, he makes you work your way down the field. You're not going to get big plays. And then when you get into the red zone, which the Chiefs do a lot, they have a hard time scoring touchdowns. Well, it just so happens that Vic Fangio's defense, you know, just strangles offenses once they get into the red zone. I mean, they don't allow touchdowns that many. They make you kick field goals. So my point is, some of the things that the Eagles do really, really, really well are things that the Chiefs may have issues with, because they've had issues with them all season long. And of course, the Saquon Barkley factor is looming large over this game.
What about the head-to-head coach matchup with Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid, when you have two extremely talented teams that that it's going to be this close of a game? Couldn't coaching be a difference maker?
Yeah, and I don't want to take anything away from Nick Sirianni. In fact, you know, I think there's one reason, you know, with generally speaking, we underestimate the Philadelphia head coach, because he got that team to the Super Bowl 2 years ago in last season. And to be honest, I can't even remember what triggered all of this. There was all kinds of turmoil. You know, there was problems in the locker room, and there were like divisions everywhere. And Nick Sirianni kind of lost his mind a little bit. And there was real talk about him getting fired. Well, he regrouped and he's done a great job with the Eagles. So that said, Andy Reid is on the short list of the greatest head coaches in the history of the NFL. And he has been virtually unbeatable in the postseason as the Kansas City coach. And one other thing I want to say about Andy Reid, and you know, there was a good story in The Athletic about this. Andy Reid is so good and he's so confident in his team that he saves plays all year just for the Super Bowl. He's got all kinds of secret plays that aren't on film. No one can see them. You can't scout for them. And then all of a sudden he pulls these plays out when he needs them in the Super Bowl. He's done this time after time after time. He even did it in the AFC Championship game, because he had designed runs for Patrick Mahomes, which they didn't do all season. So Andy's not only a great coach, but he's a great planner, and he knows how to sort of keep the other team off balance, because he's got all these surprise plays.
Well, we've been asking people today if they are tired of the Chiefs, and it seems like there is at least national Chiefs fatigue. How do you feel about that idea, and whether or not it is a good thing there's a team like the Chiefs that is dominant in the sport?
I'm not tired of the Chiefs because this is just a personal thing. I don't tell anybody else what they should think. Just as I would prefer they don't try to tell me what I should watch or not watch. But I got into this job. I've said this a million times. I got into sports media because I wanted to see greatness. And in my career, I've been blessed to see in some incredibly great things and great athletes and great teams and great moments. And I think that when you have a team this dominant and creative and smart, and you know they have the greatest quarterback coach combination, you know, other than Belichick and Brady, you know, over the last, I don't know, I'm trying to estimate, they have one of the very best ever coach quarterback combinations. I don't know. This is something that I appreciate. This is something that I savor because how often in life do you get to see something this great? And knowing that maybe 10, 15 years from now, you know, you say, well, wait a minute. Wow, I had a chance to just watch true greatness. And maybe it's the historian in me or whatever. I just have a tremendous, tremendous respect for stuff like this. So, no, I never get sick of it. To me, it's interesting to see how long they can take it forward and whether anybody can knock them off. And that's the appeal of this game, because I think Philadelphia's got a real chance to knock them off.
Hey, Bernie, also in New Orleans tonight, we will learn who will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. Torrey Holt, former St. Louis Rams, is on that list of potential players to make it in. Do you think he will?
I do. And I hope I don't have to eat these words next time that we talk. I do, because, you know, I was on that Hall of Fame committee for a long time, nearly 20 years. And I have a lot of friends on that committee, a lot of contacts. And I was reaching out to a lot of them lately, the last week or 10 days or so, because, you know, the vote was actually taken a long time ago. And I'm just saying, like, you know, am I reading the room correctly? I get a sense that this is a really good chance for Torrey Holt. And every one of them said yes, because I think what they're doing is you get these wide receiver log jams in the Hall of Fame balloting. There's way too many really good wide receivers, so they all kind of cancel each other out. If I had to handicap this, I'll say that they'll put Torrey Holt in tonight. They'll choose him over Reggie Wayne, and then Reggie Wayne will, like, be next in line. You know, there's a queue, and you got to just move the queue forward. So I think Torrey Holt's chances, I'll put it to you this way. I think he'll get in, but if he doesn't get, if I say that, I'll be wrong, but I'm steadfast in my belief after talking to a lot of voters off the record that this is the best chance he's had. Absolutely the best chance he's had.
Bernie, over to baseball. There's been a lot of smoke around Nolan Arenado to the Boston Red Sox potentially, but also looks like a lot of teams like the Sox, Astros, Blue Jays, and Cubs are interested in Alex Bregman. So there might be some waiting on Bregman to sign somewhere. He still says he wants a long-term deal, you know, 6-7 years, something like that, which could be the hangup. What's your read on the Arenado situation to Boston?
Well, you hit it. I mean, it's all about Bregman. And if Boston is getting tired of Scott Boras and Bregman trying to salvage what was a really bad decision to turn down the Astros offer to him, because I guess he assumed and the agent assumed that there were other teams lining up that were going to give him 6 years and close to $160 million. And that has obviously not been the case. So until Boras decides and his client decides what they want and what's acceptable to them, I mean, I think that this is going to remain at an impasse. But I do think talking to some people in Boston, reaching out to some of my friends in the media, including one of the team broadcasters, I do sense that Boston's getting impatient with this, and they might be more inclined to say, what the heck, let's just go get Arenado. So we'll just have to wait and see.
There was also a lot of smoke around Bregman to the Cubs on a 3-year deal, and allegedly they were offering about $100 million, which doesn't seem to be high enough for him. With the way teams have sort of shied away from longer-term deals lately, except for, you know, like the Fernando Tatis or Shohei Ohtani kinds of deals, do you think he's going to get it? And if he does not get that, if he has to settle for something, ends up with the Cubs, how much does it change the division?
Well, if he's even with the Cubs for one season, because the way Scott Boras works, if he doesn't get what he wants as far as longevity in the term of the contract, what he'll do is he'll do these shorter deals, but these deals also have opt-outs. It's just what he did with Cody Bellinger. It's like, well, the Cubs will pay him a really great salary for 3 years, but he can opt out after the first year and after the second year. I could very well see something like that going down with Bregman because this is a Scott Boras method. This is something he's done well with. It's like his fallback position. So if you put Bregman with the Cubs are the best team in the division right now. And I say that as one who is always reluctant to overlook the Milwaukee Brewers. But the Cubs have actually had a really good offseason, and this, I think, would make it a great offseason. Not that they're a perfect team. Not that they can hang with the Dodgers if they make the playoffs. I'm not saying any of that. But clearly, in a very weak NL Central, the Cubs are the class of the division, especially if they can get Bregman, which is not a far-fetched idea at this point.
Bernie Miklas is with us now, and there have been a lot of former Cardinals who've been in the transaction news over the last several days. We've got Jack Flaherty, who is back with the Detroit Tigers, and the Tigers still apparently want Bregman. So that's a thing to look at. Harrison Bader with the Twins. Tommy Pham is going to go to Pittsburgh. And Randall Grichuk is, going to re-sign with the Diamondbacks. So, we've been keeping an eye on a lot of these former Cardinals who all have jobs, some of them new jobs.
Yeah, I know that. And the only thing I'd say, if you look at every transaction that's happened this winter or the last couple, three winters, I mean, you could say that about every team in baseball.
Sure.
Former players are signing elsewhere. But we tend, and I'm not, by the way, Ronj, I'm not doing this to take a swipe at you because you're talking about something that Cardinals fans always talk about. In our town, we are utterly obsessed with former Cardinals. Just utterly yes. Obsessed. Even the Cardinals that we all said, get rid of this guy. I'm tired of him. You can do better. Just, oh, thank goodness he's gone. And then as soon as he, like a Flaherty has like one good half season, it's like, oh, see, I told you they should have kept Flaherty. So I just get really, really burned out on it, you know? So, yeah. No, but listen, I'm happy for Pham and he'll help Pittsburgh. I think the Twins signing Bader made a lot of sense. They need a good defensive center fielder. Flaherty's bridges were burned here, and he was the guy that pretty much like set the fire to burn the bridge. So and you're not saying this, I realize that, but the idea, and I've seen some people say this, that he was even a factor to return to the Cardinals is just ridiculous. Never was. And especially if they're in their so-called reset season and they don't have enough room for young starting pitchers in their rotation as is.
So last night, pretty big game for Mizzou basketball. They were the 15th ranked team in the country, played at Tennessee, had a big lead, lost the big lead, but they fall on the road by just a few. What are your thoughts on the Tigers?
They're a heck of a team. And I, you know, the fact they lost the game doesn't change my view of that whatsoever. I mean, they're really, really outstanding. Look, Tennessee's got a good chance to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, number two seed for sure in the NCAA tournament. They also have the very best defensive team in college basketball. And that includes shutting down the three pointers, which they did really well last night with Caleb Grill. You know, they were hounding him like the whole length of the court. They just wouldn't let the guy breathe to get open for those threes. And so they kind of squashed Mizzou down the stretch defensively, which I think was a predictable scenario. And actually, Mizzou scored more points against them than just about anybody has this season. So I'm not into moral victories or anything like that. But I actually had this game marked down as a loss. And Mizzou, actually, despite the loss, they're having road success in the SEC. And last night's loss really didn't do anything to deter thoughts that this is a really good basketball team. They just didn't close it out down the stretch. But you got to also factor in the competition and the home court and all that.
Well, Bernie, we have to say goodbye. But I am sure. Learning right now. Within the last few minutes, the news broke that the Bears principal owner, Virginia McCaskey, has died. She's 102. So
God bless her. Seriously. Yeah, that, wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful woman. You know, George Halas's daughter. I mean, it, you know, you talk about the family lines going back forever. So she was really, really classy. I had a chance a long time ago to talk to her a little bit. Very, very nice person. So, but she had a wonderful life. She really did.
What's today? It's Thursday.
Really?
Feels like Tuesday.
Thursday, the Friday of the weekdays.
It is the Friday of the weekdays.
Hey, you really should keep listening to us because you're never going to believe what we're doing. We're giving away tickets.
Yeah, I knew about it.
Yeah.
I've known about it like since last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're giving away tickets to the Outlaw Festival, and you better win today, because if you don't win today, you only have tomorrow left, so your odds of winning are so slim.
Yeah, they're already pretty slim, but there's a chance.
Slim, yeah, very, very slim.
I'm wearing my Willie Nelson shirt today. Willie Nelson shirt.
Oh, that looks great. So you can see it on the StreamYard.
It's Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan. That's who's playing June 28th at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
It's going to be awesome. So keep listening because we will tell you when to call in. Remember, you have to call the contest line.
Yeah, the 955-1120 number.
Yeah, we'll give you that number. Not yet.
Not yet. But don't do it now. You know, real quick, speaking of tickets, City SC single game tickets on sale as of today.
That's very exciting.
So if you want to go watch some soccer.
Have you seen a game yet?
Yeah, I've been to a couple.
Tournament games or regular season?
Regular. I think I've been to two tree. Really? I've been to two tree. I like, it's a fun time.
It's a great time.
It's a really good atmosphere. You get to wear the scarf. I love wearing the soccer scarf.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's a vibe.
Yep.
The soccer vibe is definitely more of a European feel. It's a different vibe than a baseball game. Very different than the Blues game.
I really enjoy it.
It's fun. Also, we do want to hear from you because we love you. And we want to know the question of the day. Are you suffering from Chiefs fatigue? I get it. We're the home of the Chiefs. I'm cheering the Chiefs all the way. This guy, Bears fan, sad, bitter, angry. He's got a little Chiefs fatigue, although objectively and admirably, he said he appreciates a dynasty.
I do. I appreciate that they are a dynasty and they exist, but I sometimes hope they lose very badly.
Yeah, but we want to hear from you, so you can leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app, on the KMOX page, the microphone icon. You can also text us 314-436-7900.
Did you mention the tweet?
And the tweet on the Twitter, at Chris Amy KMOX. We have a poll.
Yeah.
And hundreds of you have already voted, I believe.
Yes, hundreds have voted.
Yeah.
So get in, vote on that. Or do you have Chiefs fatigue? And we will let you know when it's time. People are already calling. Amy, we very specifically said don't call now, and they're calling.
Are they calling to win the tickets?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What did we tell you?
We told you to be careful.
Just listen, would you?
Be careful.
It's not that difficult. Man.
I don't even know.
We'll let you know when it's time to win. You need to be listening for your opportunity to get those Outlaw Festival tickets. We are expecting to visit with Rasheen Aldridge, alderman here in the city of St. Louis. At some point, he is touring the AT&T building. There's supposed to be a whole renovation happening there. But at some point next hour, we are expecting a visit with the alderman here in St. Louis. That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji on KMOX.